Welcome to the Songwriter's Diary, Indie Soul.
Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure. It's an honor to be on the show.
Thanks for being here. And for some of our listeners who don't know who you are you able to tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure. In a nutshell, I'm a singer-songwriter as well as an author. And what I do is I write songs and novels.
Yeah. And how long have you been writing music and also novels?
Okay, well, with music, it's been a part of my life, I guess, in some shape or form, since I was a child. I started learning to play guitar at the age of 11. With the novels, that was a lot more recent. I started writing my first novel about 7 years ago. It's just always been a dream of mine to be an author, to write stories. Just the whole idea of creating a work of art. And when I'd read certain books, I'd get just so enthralled by the way they were written. And I'd think to myself, you know, this is art. I'd love to be able to do that, to use words to convey things so articulately or powerfully or emotionally that it really speaks to people.
Would you say the songwriting process is similar to writing a book?
Is it similar? In some ways, it is. Depending on the kind of books that you're writing and the kind of songs, because I write fiction, coming of age stories that have a biographical element to them, but they are fictional, totally fictional. And with songs, I'm normally inspired by, it always starts with a seed, either a phrase I've heard or a title or some chord shapes that I'm messing around with. I guess in some ways they can be similar.
Yeah. And also, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you're a Zambian as well.
Yes.
Cool. When did you leave Zambia, and did your songwriting journey start in Zambia, or did it start here in New Zealand?
Oh, it definitely started in Zambia when I was a little child. Like I'd always write. I'd try and construct melodies. I remember when I was a kid, I'd read a book of nursery rhymes, and I'd try and sing the ones that I knew, and the ones that I didn't know, I'd try and make up a melody for them.
Actually the first Zambian singer-songwriter that I know of, especially here in New Zealand as well.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of the other Zambian artists I know are either producers or rappers.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought I would have been the only one that you'd have encountered.
Yeah. And when I say singer-songwriter, I guess I mean a singer that all your music is mostly accompanied by a piano, guitar, and sometimes a violin.
Mm-hmm. I try and keep the arrangements as simple as possible.
Whereas the other Zambian artists that I know, including myself, use a lot of... I guess what you would call...
They embellish the tracks more?
Yeah. You know, we'll use more auto-tune, we'll use more...
So they're a little more produced, less acoustic, I guess.
Yes. Less acoustic. Yeah, and when I was listening to your music the other day, it was very refreshing. I was like, wow, I have missed just listening to a voice and a piano and nothing else.
I think the reason why the reason I've evolved that way as a writer is because I've always felt that the mark of a good song is whether you can strip it back to its purest form, to the simplest elements, and you can still convey what it is that you want to say, or it can still resonate with people. So I always thought that's a really good challenge, because it's easy to overdub so many instruments, or you know, use various electronic elements to do part of the work for you. Yeah. But I feel like if it's just you, one voice, one instrument, performing the song, and if somebody can then say to you, I like that song, or that was a good song, I feel I'd be a lot prouder of that. Mm-hmm. I'm a lot prouder of that than if I have a full band, you know, with drum solos and guitar, elaborate guitar solos and stuff like that.
No, I definitely get that. A lot of people who don't make music, when they hear that you're a singer-songwriter, it's sort of confusing, because they think, well, isn't everyone that writes music and makes music, aren't they a singer and a songwriter as well? So can you explain what the difference is between someone like me who writes lyrics and sometimes music versus a singer-songwriter like you who who writes music, uses acoustic instrumentation only?
Yeah, I see what you mean. I think it comes down to how things have been categorized over time. I think it comes down to genre classification, because looking at the evolution of music, when it got to the 60s and the 70s, and folk music started becoming a lot more mainstream, with artists like Bob Dylan, they needed a way to categorize this music, and it was labeled, the genre singer-songwriter evolved then at that point, and went on as other singer-songwriters, you know, started to sort of mature, and more of them started to have hits, up till I think the peak for singer-songwriters was like the early 70s. So it just became associated with a voice and a guitar and lyrics that were sort of heartfelt, or that kind of told a story in a way that the so-called pop music didn't. It told a story in a more visceral way, and it kind of sometimes veered into political territory. And there's subgenres of singer-songwriters as well, like protest singers, and there's so many subgenres now that I feel like someone like yourself definitely fits into that as well. Mm. So ultimately, there isn't a great difference. There isn't a chasm between what I do and what you do, or anybody else that puts pen to paper or tries to put words to music. We're pretty much all the same, but we'd probably fall into different subgenres, like Americana or folk pop, or new, there's one called new acoustic. Yeah, so many subgenres now.
Oh, I haven't heard of new acoustic.
I know, it was one when I was I think I was uploading a single of mine for distribution, and they needed to know, first of all, the genre and the subgenre. And I saw new acoustic there, and I was like, is that what it is that I'm doing? I didn't know.
Yeah, love it. It's like now you have this new genre to learn about and explore.
Exactly.
Quite exciting. We're recording this episode on the 18th of September. And 2021 and 2020 and 2021 and probably for the next couple of years will be a little bit weird, because we're living in a pandemic. So how has the pandemic, how has it helped you evolve as a songwriter? Has it helped? Has it hindered you in any way? How has lockdown been?
Gosh, yeah, there's so much to that question. First of all, I hope, you know, everybody that's listening is keeping safe and still managing to stay creative in some shape or form and continuing to grow within their field. Mm. For me, first of all, it's been a hindrance in that a lot of my travel plans had to be shelved. I was planning on recording another live album recorded in New York. I was planning to release that in 2020, but of course ended up having to shelve my travel plans indefinitely. And that was so frustrating for me because before that, I was writing, but I was struggling as a writer. I was traveling to New York and performing there in as many venues as possible. Mm-hmm. But I found that I was struggling to write new material because whenever you go to a place that is really just a melting pot of all kinds of artists or artistic people, mm-hmm. you feel like you want to present something fresh, something that you feel is really, really represents who you are as an artist at that time. Like if it's a brand new song that you're excited about. And I just found that I was just struggling to write something that I felt was worthy of bringing to, you know, to this fresh audience in New York City. So I just didn't know what to do because it's easy to just come up with something or anything, but to come up with something that's special, that you feel mm-hmm. is really special, is such a challenge. And it can be spontaneous sometimes, or sometimes you can just have the gift. But for some reason, I was just really struggling. And then of course, the pandemic happened and we went into lockdown and I just didn't know what to do with myself at that point. I didn't have a lot of new songs and didn't really know how to spend my time. So what initially happened is I was scrolling through Instagram and there was a band that I really liked called the Melesizwe Brothers that won America's Most Musical Family. And they were doing a song challenge. So they said, you know, sing 20 seconds of our song and send us the video and we'll share it on our page. And I was thinking, well, I'm not really into trends and following these kinds of things, but I was just so bored and I thought I liked the song. So I just recorded something, you know, in my front room. I just played the chorus of their song and I sent it to them and I said, this is me singing your song. And they replied pretty fast and they shared it on their platform and I, you know, uploaded the clip on YouTube and it's my most viewed video on YouTube. Within a couple of months, it was racking up thousands of views. I was singing a song called Stadium by the Melesizwe Brothers. It's a really short clip. It's just about 20 seconds or something. But yeah, it's racking up. I think it's over 40,000 now. It's my most viewed video.
Yeah.
And after that, I thought, well, that was kind of fun. It was nice to kind of step out of my comfort zone. I still wasn't writing any songs of my own. So I just started making cover videos of me singing songs that I liked. But this meant that I'd spend a lot of time just kind of sitting with my guitar and strumming chords. But then what happened in that process is that I found a formula. Subconsciously, I found that as a songwriter, sometimes we don't realize, but we have a pattern that we follow with our writing at certain points. And what happened was, a phrase popped into my mind of something, just a random phrase popped into my mind that I thought, that seems like an intriguing title for a song or something to include in a verse. And I just started trying to make that phrase fit to a melody, any melody. And then from there, I started to write around that line. I'd start, you know, add another line to that, that kind of connected to the initial line. And then the song would just unfurl really quickly.
That's the amazing thing about being put in a situation where you're forced to be bored.
Yeah.
A lot comes out of, well, for me at least, when I'm bored and I have absolutely nothing to do and I've watched every movie I can watch, I've listened to all the albums I need to listen to, and I'm now just stuck with myself. I find that I need to be bored first to be able to create.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And like you, it always starts with a phrase, or could be a thought, or it could be a melody, you know, that you accidentally play on the keyboard or on the guitar. You're right. As an artist, you have patterns, mm-hmm. and you have all these formulas or templates of how you write music. And
yeah, even when we don't consciously realize that we do, you know, sometimes we think, oh yeah, we just write songs. But then if we were to analyze it a little closer, we'd find that, no, I actually there was a process there. And then from there, it was like a floodgate seemed to sort of open up, because it's like after I had stumbled upon that way of coming up with material, it was like, if a phrase comes into my mind, or a sentence that I feel is intriguing enough to pursue, it's always really easy. And sometimes it can be the phrase and the melody together. And then I just grab my guitar and try and work out what the chords are for that. And it just opened up a floodgate. Like I've written now, since the start of the pandemic, like well over 50 songs. And I didn't think it was even possible. And I've had the opportunity to record a lot of them where I can, when the opportunity arises. But of course, with lockdowns and stuff, it's not always easy to get that done in the way that I want to. But I'm grateful that I have been able to record some of them.
And with your recording process, is that something you do by yourself in your own space? Or is that something you do in a shared space with, you know, like, for example, with a producer or with other songwriters?
Well, at the moment, I'm doing it in my own space. But what's happening is that I'm still collaborating with keyboardists, piano players, because what I do is I'll record something in its acoustic form, just vocals and guitar, and I'll send the file to a piano player anywhere. Say, for example, if I know someone, or I can just look up session players online and send the file to them and, you know, tell them what to play, or the pattern or the idea that I have. And they can be anywhere in the world, you know, in their own space. And then they do that for me, and they send the file back to me, and I then send it to a mixing or mastering guy who could be anywhere, in the world. Just send the file, just email it, and he'll do the mixing and mastering and send the file back to me. So it's pretty much all done remotely now.
That's the beauty about living in such a virtual world. You can do anything. Like, you can record a whole album with people you've never met, people who live billions and billions of miles away from you. All you need is a phone, a laptop, and an internet connection.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I've been really grateful for, that we're fortunate enough to live in a time where we can do that. Because imagine if... if we were living in the pre-internet era, it's like we'd be so limited, you know. Yeah. But we can still stay connected. We can still continue to collaborate with just
whoever.
Anyone.
Whoever.
Yeah.
What's your latest project that our listeners can listen to? Is there a particular song that you really enjoyed making, that you want us to listen to?
Well, my latest project just to answer the first part of that question, my latest project is an EP called Afterlife Glow. So there's three songs that I've released so far from the EP. Maybe it'll evolve to become an album, but there's three songs out at the moment under the Afterlife Glow title. And that's my latest project, and that one is unique because I focused more on harmonies and layered harmonies more so than I'd done in my previous projects. So in terms of the vocals, it's not just me singing. There's, there's guest vocalists as well that are harmonizing with me. So that's what makes this most recent project unique.
New Way Out.
Yeah, I found a new way out. Yes, so that's on Afterlife Glow. Yes, I wasn't intending on the project being that way in terms of having layered vocals and stuff and harmonies and stuff. It was initially supposed to be to follow the same sort of pattern as my previous work, just vocals, guitar, and maybe a little piano, maybe a little cello. But what happened was with the first single that I was able to record in the studio, I messed up one of the lyrics. I sang the wrong thing. I sort of fumbled the lyric, and it was like I couldn't get back to the studio to re-sing it, to redo it.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, what can I do? Because I'd be happy with the song if it wasn't for that slight mistake. And you know how it is? If you're conscious of a blemish, it's like it'll always annoy you every time you hear the song. Even though people might not necessarily notice it, but for you, you can never listen to the song and feel confident.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, how can I disguise that? What can I do? And I thought, okay, well, maybe I'll just get somebody else to sing over me. So that's how it started. I thought, I'll just get somebody to sing over me or to sing the same line properly without the mistake. And that will bury, the mistake in there. So I just looked up session singers, and I just sent the file off to a couple of people. The first couple of people, I wasn't really happy with what they did. But then I think it was like the third or fourth person, he actually said, well, I can kind of hear some more harmonies in there. Hope you don't mind. And I thought, well, okay, you can put your ideas on there. It's fine. If you have an idea for an arrangement that you can hear. And he just kind of, harmonized and added an extra layer underneath. And I wasn't sure if I'd like it, but then I really liked it. I thought it sounded refreshing and kind of different to my other work, and I really loved it. And most importantly, it just kind of disguised my my mistake.
No, I know what you mean. On one of my songs, Time and Space, there's a breath that when I listen to now, I'm like, I should have maybe just, toned that breath down a little bit. No one will probably notice it, but I notice it. And every time I listen to the song, I'm like, oh man, I should have turned that down a little bit.
Yeah, the struggle is very, very real.
Very real. And with finding session musicians, like, where do you find them?
Or you can just Google that. You can just Google a list of session singers or artists or musicians. There's message boards pretty much everywhere. Yeah, because with session musicians, their main source of income is just performing or playing on other people's work. And in this digital era, they've just taken that to the next level where they can just do it online as well. So finding session players, musicians is not hard at all.
I've only ever used a session musician once. It was for one of my tracks called Sunday. There's a guitar solo at the end, and I found this musician from, there's a website called Upwork. No, is it? No. Freelancer, I think.
Right.
Yeah, one of those websites. That's been my only experience working with a session musician. Other than that, I've only ever worked with people I've like, you know, musician friends or like my partner. I've never really right. worked with someone that I don't have a personal relationship with.
I got you.
Yeah.
And I think it helps that you have someone, you know, like your partner who's right there and, mm-hmm. you know, musically inclined. You know, you can sort of, you know, bounce ideas off each other and, you know, he's always there like to collaborate with you, you know, when you need him. With finding session musicians, it can be a little bit tricky sometimes because finding the right person is not always easy. And
I guess you'd have to trial and error.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. Yeah, there's a little bit of that, but I wouldn't say a lot. Because if they're session musicians and they're out there, for the most part, they're fairly competent in their field. So not a lot of trial and error, but you might have to contact maybe 3 or 4 people before you find that fifth person that's perfect.
You used to perform in New York and Auckland as well. What has it been like for you not being able to perform?
Gosh. To be honest, it's been tough because I'm an introvert, really, but there's a part of me when it comes to sharing art, or it becomes less about me and more about the art. So when I have a song that I'm excited about that I want to share with people, then I love the performance aspect or being on stage and sharing that with people. So it has been really tough not being able to perform and not being able to travel, especially to New York, because that's where I was focusing most of my you know, performance and touring kind of ideas and ambitions, really. Yeah. So what happened was I found out through Facebook that a lot of venues were carrying on with their live music nights, but they were doing it. They'd be live streaming. So what ended up happening is I ended up contacting, you know, a few people when a live streaming event was happening, and that kind of frame it or bill it like it was a live show, like they normally do for their live shows, but you just have to listen online or watch the show online. So I thought, what a great idea. We can still carry on with what we were doing in terms of performance, but yeah, now we'll just do it through live streaming. So as I started writing these new songs, it just so happened to work out that I was able to find out about these live streaming events in New York, and I'd contact them and say, you know, I want to perform, you know, at such and such an event. And, you know, they send you the link kind of like we're doing now, and they'd just host the event like they would normally. You know, the performers that are there will be introduced as if they were stepping on stage, and it would be live streamed and you'd perform your song. So I ended up being able to perform a lot of my new songs. I was using my phone speaker. So in terms of audio quality, I think that's the main drawback, because sometimes you'll find that with live streaming, they can be technical glitches here and there. But for the most part, I'd say every performance, there were no technical glitches that I encountered. And I think I've uploaded up to maybe 9 or 10 live performances. So if anybody just, you know, wants to be entertained or see what I do live, they can watch the live streams on my YouTube page, Indie Soul with 2 L's.
And what would you say the music space is like in New York? Because for a lot of musicians, you know, the US, New York, Hollywood is probably the place where they what most people would one day love to perform?
Well, first of all, it's really vibrant. It's really vibrant. Being in New York is, in terms of sensory overload, there is so much going on. It's so exciting. You know, you immediately feel the surge of excitement as soon as you're there. You feel like you're on another planet, and there's just so much to do, so many places to go, so many people around you. So in that sense, it's really invigorating for an artist, especially if you're going through a creative slump. I'd say relocating does help re-energize you, and you can get a lot of that motivation back. In terms of the scene itself, it can be competitive. It can be really competitive because there's so many people that have that one goal in mind. Mm-hmm. That is, you know, to be a successful recording artist. It can be competitive, but a lot of the places that I performed, I found, you know, were very supportive, and they help you through the nerves. You know, they help you through the nerves. And I'm just so grateful that I've had the opportunity to perform there as many times as I have. The great thing that came out of all of that was I was actually offered a recording contract, just to segue from live performance to competitive music scene. And then the next step that we all dream of is getting, you know, a recording contract or something like that. Oh, what's a recording contract? Basically, when a record label recognizes your work and offers you a contract saying, we'd like you to sign with us and record two albums, one album, a single, and this is what's going to happen. We'll promote it in such and such a way. You know, you'll have to perform, you know, such and such live dates, as many live dates, and you have to tour this single, and they'll split the profits. So they kind of take a cut. Sometimes they'll want part ownership of the rights to that song. So when you sign with them, they kind of own you in a way in terms of your work. It's no longer yours, but you're now part of that label. So if another artist from another label wants to collaborate with you, you can't necessarily do that if they're signed to another label. You have to get permission from your label. Or if anybody wants to use your work, then they have to get permission. It's all done through the record label once you're signed.
Yeah.
I hope that kind of explains it.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah. So for anyone listening that doesn't understand like how a record label works, correct me if I'm wrong, it's sort of like an agency for a musician. So they, you know, when someone wants to collaborate with you, or, you know, you want to release any sort of work, you have to have a chat with them first.
Yeah, you need their permission. A lot of times, because they own the rights. They own the rights to that song that you recorded with them. Can be.
And so was this your first time being signed?
No, because initially I was signed to a small label when I lived in London, and they distributed an EP and an album that I did with my band that was over there. All I can say about record labels and management contracts is that whoever offers you anything like that, please read the fine print, because sometimes you can sign away a lot in terms of your rights, in terms of your work. You can sign it away, and you might not see a lot of profit. So make sure that the offer is fair, and it's something that you can see yourself being in. So always get some legal representative to look over the contract. Get a good lawyer. That's what they always say.
You have what they want. So
always,
you know, try and get the better deal for yourself first.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But in saying that, I didn't sign that contract. It was a record label in London that offered me. Mm-hmm. So what happened is I sent them the new songs that I'd written during quarantine. I just sent that music out to as many labels and playlisters. I wasn't just sending to labels, I was sending to Spotify playlisters, just anyone, blog writers, anyone. And I sent it to a few labels. So this label in London contacted me, and I had a meeting with them, like we are now, and spoke to them at length about what they wanted to do. They offered me, and they sent me the contract, of course, and it said, I don't know if I should really go into into everything that it said, but basically there were things in there that I felt, especially considering with the pandemic situation and not being sure how things are going to evolve with the pandemic, there's a lot that we can't predict. So to sign something that has, you know, all these stipulations in it, under such circumstances as a global pandemic, and that could stop everything, could stop all businesses dead in their tracks. Like, look at all the people that have been affected, all the businesses that have had to restructure, or people have just lost their livelihoods and everything like that. So it just didn't feel like a good idea for me to sign something or to commit, because it's a commitment when you sign that. It's a commitment. And it just didn't seem like a good idea with the way things are at the moment, especially with touring, because there's like some touring commitments as well. I just felt it wasn't a good idea to sign a contract like that at this time. But I was grateful that they reached out, and we did talk at length.
Maybe it's a conversation that you can go back to once the world is back to somewhat normal again.
Oh gosh, fingers crossed. Once we know this, I mean, it seems there's a new variant coming up. At, you know, you're reading about a new variant every other day, and it's just a shame. I just feel it's better now in some ways to be an independent artist, because you can kind of be the master of your own destiny within such a precarious world where things are so unpredictable. You can be the helmsman, you can be the one that's steering the ship without having to answer. So if you take any chances or take any risks with anything, it's all on you. It's not you and some organization that you're accountable to, which just makes things a lot more stressful. And
well, my lockdown was a lot different to yours, since we went into lockdown in New Zealand, which was, I think, March 2020. Mm-hmm. I did not write a thing. I collaborated with three or four other artists, but I didn't work on my own music. I couldn't write, and I was also working at a corporate job as well. So 9 to 5 in my room, stressed out. So after work, I just didn't find energy to create. And so for the past year, I haven't worked on any music for myself. It's only been helping other artists. So for me, I found it very, very frustrating. I would try to make music, make art, and it wasn't possible. Not because I couldn't do it, but my heart wasn't in it. And also the fear of everything that was going on. I was just so anxious. Yeah. And I find it very difficult to write in a state of struggle and anxiousness.
Mm-hmm. I totally hear what you're saying, because like you say, you know, the fear and the anxiety, I mean, we're living through something that is, I mean, that's historic, you know, generations after us are going to be talking about this, and we're living through it. And I mean, you just don't know what's around the corner. And there's that anxiety and that fear, I think, is something that all of us were really, you know, battling with, because it's like, what does this mean for the future? You know, not just not just our future as artists, but our future as the human race.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it was a very emotional time, and I can understand why I guess, you know, that motivation to necessarily be at your creative best, it wouldn't be there, because yeah, it was so emotional for, you know, for all of us. So it makes sense, really.
This lockdown, August, September, 2021 in New Zealand, this lockdown has been good. I feel like I know how to deal with this now. You know, I wake up every morning, I go for a walk, I come back, I do some work. And work is just, if I can write a paragraph, if I can write a verse, I'll do it. If I can't, I won't do it. And just trying to slowly adjust into creating again. Yes. And for me, what that looks like is just taking a walk every morning has changed my life. I should have done it in the last lockdowns as well. It's made me calm and it's made me feel whole again, which is a state that I need to be in to be able to create.
Yes, that going for walks is definitely really therapeutic. And I think finding that therapeutic device that works for you, specifically depending on your personality or what anxieties are at the forefront, or how the anxiety manifests itself in you. I think it's really, really important to find that one therapeutic outlet that works best for you. And going for walks is definitely a great one, for sure.
Yeah, because for a long time, I thought that my therapeutic outlet was writing songs. And then it came to a time where I couldn't do it last year. Now I'm realizing, okay, I just need to walk and I'll be good. And then I can go write my songs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And do you find that, how are you coping with not being able to perform? Do you miss being on stage very much?
I actually don't enjoy performing.
Really?
I love the writing process. I love collaborating with other artists. I love coming up with ideas for a music video and the process of recording a song, but I don't enjoy the performance aspect of it so much.
May I ask why?
I think it's because I find it very, when I'm performing, I feel like it's now all about me. Whereas when I'm creating or collaborating with other people or coming up with ideas, I find that it's more about the art than it is about me. And it's something that I really enjoy. My dream is to have one of my songs or one of my performances in an art gallery.
Ah.
Somewhere where it's not about me. It's just about the art.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been weird coming to the realization that I actually don't like performing, or maybe I just haven't performed in a space where I felt like safe.
I hear what you're saying. Or a space where you felt like you could just sort of relax into yourself and openly express yourself without perhaps feeling in some way restricted or
hindered. Yeah, because most of the times when I'm performing, which I'm sure you've experienced too, there's like someone drunk in the corner yelling, or I once performed somewhere where a fight broke out, and it's not really a space that I feel safe. Whereas if it were in a space like an art gallery, it's a controlled space where, you know, if I wanted to whisper my words, they could be heard.
Yes.
If I wanted to have art around me while I'm performing, that's possible to do.
I totally understand. And I can totally relate to that. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, so for me, I think either I just haven't found the right space, or I'm not at a level on an artist where I can, I have the budget to be in a specific space and have the stage decorated in a specific way, you know?
Right.
Yes. It's either that or I just don't enjoy performing at the moment because I find that it's, you know, it's about me, not the art.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. I understand. And the point that you made earlier, we are really vulnerable when we step on stage, especially if you're a solo performer. I think if we think of any solo performer, whether it's somebody that dances or plays an instrument, but when you're on stage, you're really vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know? And sometimes it's not.
But I have had moments where I've like enjoyed and I was like, this is beautiful. But those moments are few compared to the other moments. Yeah.
You know what you mean? I have to mentally prepare myself for a live performance. I have to almost kind of meditate before I step on stage and to kind of, I don't know, to get into the zone, you know, and feel like I can do the song justice when I step out.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. No, definitely. I'd love to know what we can expect next from you and how we can keep up with you.
I'm still writing. So I do have a batch of new songs that I hope to record after we move out of lockdown. So I would say expect new songs. I would say I would like to record a music video. I find that quite daunting because I don't know, in terms of a video that features me, or maybe I can create something that's a little abstract or something that's animated. So I would like to do a project like that. So people can find me on all the social media platforms except Facebook. I'm not on Facebook anymore. I'm still on Instagram at Soul Indie with two L's. So people just need to reverse my name. So Instagram at Soul Indie, and I'm on Twitter at Indie Soul Music.
Thanks so much for having a chat with me today. So it's a really lovely and insightful chat.
No, it's been great. It's been great. And I'd definitely be more than happy to, you know, stay connected and be involved in future projects that you might have or anything that comes
definitely.
up.
Definitely. I will definitely hit you up.
Hey, love, how you doing? It's been so long since I have seen your face. How have you been? Do you still go to the same old places? Do you remember all those folks we knew? Where have they been? I found a new way out, so I had to go away. Though I was filled with doubt, I knew I couldn't stay. Every once in a while, I think of you. I thought that love would see us through, ooh, till I come back to you. Of you, I thought that love would. us through. Hey love, are you sleeping? Won't you please pick up the telephone? Please let me in. Cause it's been raining most these evenings, and I ain't even got no coat to wear. Where to begin? I found a new way out, so I had to go away. Though I was filled with doubt, I knew I couldn't stay. Every once in a while, I think of you. What can I do? I thought that love would see us through. Till I come back to you. Till I come back to you. Till I come back to you. How have you been? Till I come back to you. Till I come back to you. Hello, love. How you doing? It's been so long since I have seen your face. How have you been?